ladies and gentlemen, we always tell you that sports, write for info, write for news. When we were supposed to record this episode a couple days ago, things were different. I didn't have a working computer screen. Flash forward 24 hours or 48 hours later, and now I do. So we get to talk about a bunch of stuff today that was different 48 hours ago before I realized I didn't have a computer screen. Episode 37 of the Sports is Life podcast kicks off with what had happened was California became the first state to pass a pay-for-play act.
Is it really a pay-for-play, or is it really just allowing students to use their likeness? Like, I think that's what it's, I think it's what it's called, but really and truly, it's allowing students to continue to own their own likeness and name, which still baffles my mind why the NCAA thinks that they should have control over that.
Well, you know who agrees with the NCAA?
Somebody I don't care about.
Yeah. Jacksonville's favorite son, Tim Tebow. Last week, he decided to go on, I'm going to use Stephen A. Smith's favorite word, he went on a little soliloquy about why he thinks that that is hot garbage. Each student athlete should just enjoy the college experience and not worry about getting paid. Coming from a dude who was...
I wouldn't go so far as to say he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he was so well off that he never had to worry about anything in his life. He didn't have any of the challenges that his teammates had, that's for sure.
The man was homeschooled, and rumors are he scored a 930 on his SAT, but still got into Florida. So,
I mean, that within itself isn't that big of a deal, because Tim Tebow is in that position where we could all just all say privilege and call it a day. The whole thing of this law is California passed it. Now I guess South Carolina is hoping to pass it as well, which is really interesting, just because Dabo Sweeney is very outspoken about how college players shouldn't be paid and the amateur system and the college system as it currently stands and blah, blah, blah. At least coming from Dabo, it feels authentic in a way that's not an I didn't need it, so you guys shouldn't have it either type of way, because Dabo's story, what college did for him, is pretty well documented, including the fact that his mom lived with them in the dorms for a period of time because that's how poor they were. So at least his isn't coming from from a place of, well, I didn't need it. It's coming from a place of, I value the experience that I had, and I believe that it helps people grow and gives them a leg up in life. So South Carolina is the next state that's planning to take up this bill, which is really strange. There is some talk about how when you take it kind of out of football and basketball, men's football and men's basketball realm, what it could do for athletes there, because right now technically it's so bad that like a 7-year-old has a YouTube channel, but a guy who plays college football, they can't have a YouTube channel and monetize that YouTube channel. So remember, there was a kicker at UCF that had a YouTube channel, and YouTube doesn't pay like exorbitant amounts of money, but they basically ruled that he was not going to be eligible because he was using his likeness in his own YouTube channel. Because again, these players don't own their own likeness. Like, you or I could do whatever we want with our likeness. We can sign a contract to be on a magazine or make our YouTube channel or do whatever, monetize our name, our face. Like, we can do that. Even a normal college student can do that. Like, a college student that's on scholarship can do that. College athletes are not able to monetize their own name in any way, shape, or form. Even the NFL and like Major League Baseball and all that, they don't own the rights to the players. Like, the players, that's what the players' unions are for, because that's one of the things they do, which is monetize players' likenesses. So like all these ads and stuff like that, you're signing deals with the NFLPA in addition to. So
yeah, they're tripping. Hopefully we get 50 states to adopt this act, and maybe, I don't want to call it NCAA football, but the EA Sports will hopefully be able to make another college football game. after all 50 states adopt this.
That would be helpful to them. But either way, the NCAA just needs to get with the time. This is one of those situations that they just need to, like, do the little things so that they don't get you for the big things. But if they'd done this 10 years ago, it should not be a conversation and nobody worried about it. Or it'd be a less yelling conversation because by now the players would have learned how to, like, actually make money off this.
And I'd be winning in the national championship with Florida State on NCAA 20.
That's probably the only place you'd win a national championship on NCAA 20.
What else that happened was when we were going to tape a few days ago, Antonio Brown was still in the news 48 hours later, I guess.
I mean,
not much.
The latest news today was that Nike dropped him.
This man is he's done a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah, he just seems to be somebody who drinks his own Kool-Aid. Yeah, he doesn't believe in paying people. He seems to think that him tweeting about somebody is, like, enough. It's great in lieu of payment.
Oh, yeah, because he had the chef come over and cook his food for, what, the Super Bowl?
No, it was the Pro Bowl, but yeah.
You want to pay the man?
There's also an incident of him not paying people for murals that they did, or letting them complete them, or not paying for auction items he purchased. And, you know, auction items are at charity events. He's not paying for them. I mean, there's some documentation on, like, how hard his life was in Miami and how much he, you know, fought to get out. And maybe he doesn't necessarily have, like, the greatest perspective, support system, understanding of, like, what he should and shouldn't be doing. I'm sure, like, unfortunately, he's shaping up to be one of those players that ends up broke after they're done playing, which I don't beseech anybody for, you know, being broke after they finish playing, because I know it's far more complicated than people want to acknowledge or even understand.
He's also about to run into a situation where people ain't going to, he's going to end up broke because not many teams are going to be willing to shell out the money.
And, you know, he gave up a $30 million guarantee.
Wanted to go cuss out Mike Mayock and call him a saltine cracker.
Yep.
And all that good stuff.
There's nobody that thinks that on its face, like, had all of these other allegations not started falling as soon as he forced his way out of Oakland, I think we all would have been like, it's Oakland. Well, yeah, we understand. You know, I think that would be something that people would get. But the problem is everything else. And now it's like, well, why the heck are you, why? You just kind of seem a little bit like a terrible person.
Yeah. And how can he be playing after all this foolishness? But I mean, people have done worse and still playing football. So
he's one of those people that you just like, I need you to go find a therapist. I need you to sit on a couch. I need you to work through all your issues so that you can be a productive member of society and you no longer feel the need to rip people off or potentially harm others, because
he needs to go on Iyanla Van Zant, Fix Your Life.
There you go. Perfect. He needs to go fix his life.
Last thing that happened was, once again, 48 hours ago, we were about to flame this FSU booster who had his freaking son,
four-year-old, guys, 4 years old,
out here selling lemonade, not for, you know, just to keep the money, not to donate it to some cause. No, he had his four-year-old son out here selling lemonade to contribute towards Willie Taggart's FSU buyout. First of all, lemonade better be top notch. Now, of course, prior to lemonade, FSU Twitter was
aflamed. Lost their minds, aflamed.
Yeah, after we lost to Virginia, more on that in a minute. You know, everybody was ready to crucify Willie Taggart, as they have been every Saturday evening in the fall since a year and a half ago.
Since he started.
Yeah.
Like he literally never got a moment where the fan base, like, kind of got it. There is literally, you know, we can have every discussion about what Willie did and how he might have misjudged the team, or, you know, how he hyped up, you know, the team and everything else and all of that. But honestly, FSU fans could have really looked at it themselves and been like, yeah, we about to be trash.
Well, apparently all it takes is an adult having his kid sell lemonade for $17 million to completely turn that around, because FSU Twitter has seemed to come to its collective senses and come together as a unit and pretty much blast this foolishness for what it really was. I will hope by the time that people tune in to this episode of Sports is Life podcast that FSU's football record will be 2-2.
Fingers crossed.
Obviously, Courtney did not know that last week's game versus Virginia was for the Jefferson Epps Trophy.
I did not.
Virginia in eerie how close. I don't know if anybody remembers, unless you're a real Florida State fanatic, that they were the first team to give us a conference loss when we joined the ACC back in, 91 or 92? We basically jacked up the division for like 4 years, undefeated, and then on a cold night, Virginia beat us, and it was a very close play, like right at the goal line. I think some people still believe that Warrick Dunn actually scored a touchdown, but they marked him short. And, you know, since then, we've gone on to basically annihilate Virginia. Like, they've only beaten us 3 times, including last Saturday. But the end of that game was eerily similar because here we are driving down the field. Granted, it was by penalty after penalty.
After penalty. Like, Blackman couldn't connect with anybody.
Yeah.
Literally.
They had to play at the end, got down, and I'm going to be real. I felt like some extra time ran off the clock prematurely after that second to last play. And they scrambled to get the next playoff. And I don't know what happened. I think people just didn't know where to go. It was a cluster, and we didn't score, and we ended up losing. So there you go.
So my husband's his final assessment was, I do think there was something off from what like actually happened, because we went to the game. So I think there was something off in the broadcast to like the timing of like the play clock going down, because the play clock going down, I think something having to do with like a second or two was always going to come off the clock, but I think it looked like something happened as to why you lost a second and two, but it was really just the time it took to call the play dead.
Even when we were watching on TV, when they blew the whistle at 7 seconds, or this is just watching it on TV, they blew the whistle 7 seconds, but the clock still ran to 4 seconds. So I don't know if maybe that's different in how it happened at the stadium, but.
Well, I think that's what happened, but I think the idea that it was a mistake is what the issue is that, yeah, they blew the whistle, but the clock still always, I guess, kind of runs a second or two down or something like that. Like the fact that it was. I don't think the ACC has come out and said that they screwed up yet, like they did for the last.
ACC had a very bad timing week last week, because apparently there was like two or three games where they jacked that up.
Yeah.
But ACC officials always seem to have issues, but that's neither.
They really do. Especially when they're at Florida State's playing.
Yeah. Everybody was mad at the last play. Everybody thought that we should have
spiked the ball.
I'm not.
Here's the thing. Once the clock ran down to 4 seconds, regardless of whether that was right or wrong, it was impossible to spike the ball. Like, yeah. You just didn't have enough time. So that, number one. And number two, I think the play call was correct. Or, like, at least a good one. I mean, not correct, but a good play call. But as my husband said, they couldn't figure out how to get lined up. He was, like, at one – because he went back and, like, watched the play several times. And he was just like – there were offensive linemen that were lined up on the wrong side of the – like, if they are a right tackle, they were lined up on the left. And he's like, but I don't get how that ever happens. He's like, because you're an offensive lineman. If you're a right tackle, you stay on the right. If you're a left tackle, you stay on the left. You should still be on that side. Why are you on the other side? Like, it was just, like, a very, like, confusing – like, I think the play itself was fine. It was just terribly executed. But the reality is they didn't have any timeouts. They couldn't spike the ball based on the new time. And they really just had to go. Like, they had to get the ball off. And they just did not have time to, like, collect themselves even a little bit.
I assume that they probably had that play already picked out.
They called that play before the play previous. They yeah. had to. There's no way.
So it's like, even if you were short of the first down, you knew what you were running next. So, right. I mean, that's why I don't really get all hurt about them not spiking the ball.
I don't get hurt about them not spiking the ball. What frustrates me is that they did not have cool enough heads to figure out where they were supposed to be. That yeah. part is what's frustrating. But the reality is that they didn't have cool heads at all during that last drive. And I'm sorry.
Obviously, this is our... I think the consensus was that this was our best effort, even though it still yes. hurts the same.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I will say this. Another thing that the hubby was saying... And I feel like this is like me just being like, my entire analysis is based on his, because it is, because he's sitting there next to me, like telling me all of these things about like who was supposed to be where, who missed this, da, da, da. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I know a lot about football, but like when you are sitting next to somebody who played the game and like understands like what should be happening on the field, it is entirely something different. Like, there's just like an understanding that like a lot of lay people or people who are not trying just don't get. Like, I'm just like, I'm not quite sure who the inside middle linebacker is, but okay. but he was just like, there's not a lot of talent. And I think there's a misconception that there's a ton of 4 and 5 stars. And also, high school rankings don't mean crap if you don't get developed and you don't buy in. So you could have 105 stars and it doesn't actually matter.
I think the one thing that upset me the most was the plethora of unsportsmanlike conducts, whether they were right or wrong, they were still killer.
They were.
The one against Robert Cooper was the only one I was like,
that targeting call?
No, the one where he threw the kid on the ground as they were blowing the whistle. But yeah, all those calls, they're killer. Some of them is like I think that one, that targeting call, I was sitting to hear like a petulant five-year-old kid when his parents say no. I was like, that's how I was like squirming around after every single one of those unsportsmanlike conducts. It was bad. And it's like, yeah, you can say that's on the coach or he's not teaching enough discipline. But at some point, like, if you have a kid and you tell him or tell the kid, hey, don't do that. And then you start, you know, disciplining them. Don't do that. You know not to do that. But they keep doing it. I mean, are you going to get mad if somebody calls you a bad parent? Like, at some point,
it's on the kids. But you know what I get really frustrated with? The only reason we even care about penalties, because really and truly, we don't care if the team is undisciplined and we don't care if there's penalties, because FSU is one of the most penalized teams in America, and
they've been that way since
right.
the beginning of
and
time.
They've always been slightly undisciplined. We only care because right now there is so little room for error. Like, the margin of error is so small. Because, like, think about it. In that drive, in Virginia's last drive, had we not had all of those penalties and had the defense been able to get off the field, we could have ended the game, right? But because we have such small room for error, people are freaking out about the team being undisciplined when between FSU's own nature and then the ACC hating FSU, FSU has always been a highly penalized team. FSU was a highly penalized team during the national championship run. Nobody cared, though. Guess what? Because we were winning. And that is also something that I would love some perspective on from fans. I'm not saying the team shouldn't be penalized. I'm not saying the team does not need to get better in terms of penalties and being disciplined. I am not saying that the team, you know, that they as players need to understand that there is such a small that they need to play close to perfect to win games right now, that these unnecessary things are harming their ability to win. Because think about it, it's been like a combined of what, 11 points that decided three games. But I'm really tired of listening to fans say that, because it's not a real, I mean, it is a real thing, but it's really a real thing because we are not good right now. And I'm not completely sure I'm of the opinion, point blank and period, this is a 4-year rebuild.
I think the whole part about that booster who had his kid selling lemonade is like, everybody who I've talked to has like either made fun of us or like they want Willie gone. And it's like, yo, number one, if you want Willie gone, then you're going to shell out some of that $20 million that you're going to have to pay.
Right.
Two, I understand that we can only blame Jimbo for so long.
But we can blame Jimbo for longer than people think.
Yeah. If you want to blame Jimbo or keep blaming Jimbo, that's fine. But that means that you're going to have to give Willie some time and patience to at least have the opportunity to do what he's going to do.
Here's the thing I think. This is the thing. As I started to think about this more and more, I think that fans, FSU fans, were caught off guard by this needing to be a rebuild. And I do think some of that, a lot of that, is Willie's fault. Because let's be really honest, Willie was super excited. But I do think some of his excitement was also just being a fan. Like, I do think that we underestimate, like, if this is like your dream job, your dream school, your dream whatever, you hype it up to be the best thing that you've ever seen in your entire life. And the reality might not be that. But on some level, you're still going to like walk around and look around and be like, I'm here. Like, I remember being like, FSU was like the only school I wanted to go to forever, right? And college was a great experience. But I still remember walking around campus and just being like, damn, I'm lucky to be exactly where I want to be. I'm on this campus. I'm going to this school. Like the dream I had when I was 8, it came true. Like, there were still moments that happened, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think that to some degree, part of Willie's enthusiasm may have been the 8-year-old or the 16-year-old who knew that he wasn't going to get a scholarship or get an offer from Florida State, but now he gets to come back and be the coach. So I do think part of that excitement came from that lens, right? I also think that, I mean, I think Willie said something earlier this year at some press conference. I think it was like ACC Media Day or something. He said something about how you don't expect when a coach leaves on their own for it to be a serious rebuild. Like, you think that you're coming into something that is much more stable, right? And that is something that is different, right? Like, and I think if you think back on it as fans, the 2016 season, we won 10 games. 2017 season, we play Alabama to start the season. Francois got hurt. There's a hurricane. Games got moved. Everything just like went off the rails. But I think people thought things went off the rails, not that what was happening and the inability to get it back. Like the inability to like the losing to Boston College, like the bad losses that happened, I think people thought, oh, it's an inability to get it back. But the reality is that if the team had a strong culture, just losing Francois and having a hurricane wouldn't have meant that the entire season fell apart. Because that's what happened. Like, a stronger culture means that the team doesn't give up, which is essentially what happened. The team gave up, the coaches gave up, everybody gave up because nobody wanted to be there anymore. Because they all decided that now that we don't have Francois and now that we, you know, we're playing this true freshman, blah, that was what happened. And I just feel like everybody thought that that was the anomaly and that the season before was the reality. But remember, that was the season Jimbo had to have players sign a document that said that they would play hard. Like, I think that the problems existed, but I think that because of what we thought we were going through, like, it wasn't the same thing. So I feel like we were coming into doing a rebuild and, like, fans didn't even realize that it was coming. Like, it's one thing to be a Jaguars fan, smiley. Y'all in a rebuild number 723. But you knew it was coming. Or being a Giants fan, this week, what's his face? Eli Manning got sat down, right? The Giants were already basically in a rebuild. And the fans know it. So they know they're not going to be good for several years because they're in a rebuild. So fans can have perspective. At least we hope. I don't think FSU fans realize that we were about to hit a rebuild.
And the thing is, I don't think any college fan is down with the rebuild of a college program. Maybe it's because it's less games. Maybe it's because there are those rivals who can't wait to pounce on a rebuild. Like, it's just weird. Or because FSU has such clout that fans don't think that we should ever be in a rebuilding phase.
Well, I think we never feel like we should ever have to go through the dark decade again. But I mean, I tend to agree with that.
That was a rough time.
It really was.
Which is why I can
have perspective on this time. I mean, yeah, me too. I also think that because of the way college works, where you cycle in new players every 2 to 4 years, I think people feel like the rebuild shouldn't be that long. They should be quicker. I also think that fans
are impatient as hell.
But I think they also think more highly of their university than recruits do. Because I think they think, oh, but it's Florida State. And if I'm an 18-year-old kid, what does that mean to me? I was 12 when FSU won national championship. And I want to win now. So I'm going to go, if I have an offer to Clemson, I'm going to go to Clemson. Or if I'm Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields, yeah, I'm not going somewhere where I know I'm going to die because our offensive line is terrible.
I mean, let's be real. There are only 3 active coaches in college football that have won a national championship. 3. Yeah. Our former coach, Saban, and Dabo. That's it. No other coach in the country has won a national championship. So, what do you think is going to happen? What we're either going to have to... They're not going anywhere.
Nope.
So, we got to take a chance on getting one of their assistants or somebody else that nobody knows.
Dabo doesn't really have any assistants anywhere.
Yeah, exactly, because they all stay with him.
Dabo, that is why Dabo is so successful, is because he keeps his assistants... And for far longer than anybody else. Assistants that don't have to move up the chain. Like, for example, Jeremy Pruitt was at Alabama for a really long time, but he started off as a defensive assistant, then he was a secondary coach and whatever, but then he left.
And now he's running Tennessee into the ground.
Right. And Kirby Smart, like, Georgia still ain't done nothing. So Kirby, year 3... has had mass exoduses from his program, so I'm not sure Kirby's going to get there, to be perfectly honest with you. Justin Fields, one of the people we're talking about who's, you know, great quarterback, left. Mm-hmm. And now is at Ohio State. So you've got that. Like, I think that people think that coaching A in college is that simple. I mean, we're shaping up for Clemson, Alabama part 27 this year. Jimbo ain't doing great at Texas A&M. And came into a better situation because Sumlin at least probably left a decent culture. He might not have left as much talent, but recruiting up against Alabama in the same division, shoot, I wouldn't go to A&M. Why?
Not to mention with Texas getting better.
Right.
Now you got to compete against Texas kids.
Right. So now you got to compete for, you're going to be like, it's just you like, so we don't know that Jimbo's even going to be able to build A&M into a program that like is respectable because they definitely lost 4 games last year. And they got socked by Clemson already this year. So if they get socked by Alabama, like, they're done. I just think that there's an unrealistic expectation. And also just an idea of, like, let's say we did get rid of Willie at the end of the season. Paid a $17 million buyout. His family is set up, you know, whatever. He'll get another job. It just may not be, like, a prominent one. Who is going to take the job at Florida State? Because trust and believe at this point, I think that when Willie took the job, the problems at FSU could be masked. At this point, all the problems of issue, like, everything's on Front Street. Every coach in America knows, if I got a good job, why am I coming to Florida State? At least not right now. I still got turds in my program. Like, kids that aren't going to buy in. Kids that didn't buy in for Jimbo and haven't bought in for Willie. A.K.A. one DJ Matthews, who got left at home, who was the starting right receiver. Got left at home on Saturday because he did not do what he was supposed to. He did not meet expectations. A.K.A. He wasn't a team player buying in to the program and the process. I will say this. I do appreciate the fact that he seems to be willing to make whatever changes he needs to make, whenever he needs to make them. Brought in Jim Levitt. I don't know if that's actually going to be the be-all, end-all, but it seems like he's willing to, like, some teams was terrible last year, he fired the coach. Like, I do appreciate the fact that he's willing to make changes and try new things, because there are, you know, they're talking about players making different, playing in different positions this week and all that kind of stuff, so I do appreciate that.
So with that being said, FSU fans need to chill the hell out.
Yeah. I think you have to give him 3 years, and I think more than that, you should give him 4. I also just feel like I'm not a fan of these buying out these coaches with these massive buyouts, because I just feel like it is a literal waste of money. Like, let's pay this coach to leave. Then we got to buy, if we want a current head coach, that's good. We have to pay their buyout at the news from their current employer, plus then give them a contract. So now we have now wasted $25, $30 million paying people not to coach when they had jobs before. Like, one thing I've admired about FSU over the years is their ability to get more done with less. And I just don't believe in, again, I just don't believe in wasting money. And I feel like paying Willie to not coach is wasting money.
I'm not a fan of being a program that just goes through coaches every like 3 or 4 years. Like, that junk is annoying.
It's annoying, like, and there's absolutely no way to get stability. There's just not.
Does anybody know who the quarterback of New York Jets is?
Somebody who doesn't have mono.
I mean, Drew Brees got hurt. Big Ben is out for the season. Eli getting sat down finally,
hopefully for the last time, so we can put Eli Manning to rest.
Cam's hurt.
Yeah. So Sam Darnold, mono. Trevor Siemian, season-ending IR.
We are entering an era in NFL where
nobody knows who plays quarterback.
We don't know anybody. But guess who's still playing, though?
Tom Brady.
Thomas freaking Brady. You know what? I took a chance to put him on my fantasy team this year. So hopefully it pays off. I feel like the NFL season has turned into a dud, and we're just watching New England and Kansas City just flat dust everybody on a daily, weekly basis.
And we're just all going to be like, well, that's over now. Like, it's definitely going to be a scenario where it's like, this is anticlimactic because nobody.
Oh, I forgot. Our starting quarterback got injured for the season. So, I don't know. This is absurd. And, of course, nobody's talking about our quarterback being out for the year anymore down in Duval County. We're talking about all the news is about our star, 3-time Pro Bowl cornerback, Jalen Ramsey, who, as of right now, we're getting ready to play our vaunted rivals, the Tennessee Titans, on Thursday Night Football. And this entire week has been about whether or not Jalen Ramsey wants to get traded.
Which he does.
Well, yeah, but I guess he wasn't the one that spilled the beans.
I mean, his agent asked for the trade, and it leaked. So,
but they weren't the ones that leaked it, apparently.
Do we actually believe that?
Look, I live in Jacksonville. I feel like it's plausible that Tom Coughlin might have said something that lit a fuse, and the way the media is here, they like take stuff and run with it. I'm not saying Jalen is blameless, but I do think that they're trying to find every reason to get rid of him. So if you want to stoke the fan base and make Jalen out to be the bad guy, like he doesn't want to be here, all because he's the best player on the team.
And y'all haven't decided to pay him yet.
Yeah. And the fact that he has outplayed every player that was drafted ahead of him 4 years ago, and all four of them have gotten extensions.
Yep.
And the fact that you just messed over paying the quarterback that took us to the AFC Championship but couldn't win it because nobody was confident enough in him to lead a drive to win the game. You gave him a humongous extension, and now he's not even here anymore.
Nope.
And the fact that we just, people in Jacksonville, we just can't have anything nice in general.
No.
I don't know. At some point, something has to give. I feel like Jalen is probably going to play his behind off tonight. I don't know where he's going to be in a week.
He doesn't know where he's going to be in a week.
Well, just the simple fact that every other team in the NFL is knocking at our doorsteps trying to figure out what they can get for him. That should probably let you know that, hey, maybe we might want to hang on to this guy and give him a little bit of money and maybe dump the head coach that has a losing record.
Maybe.
For his career. Or the GM that has done absolutely nothing since he's been there except draft Jalen Ramsey.
Coughlin has like a very specific, and I often think very outdated way of thinking about.
He wants his team to be 53 Eli Mannings.
Basically.
Hopefully Jalen shows his attire behind tonight.
I mean, I don't really want to see it bad, like literally, so maybe not.
Coughlin has definitely galvanized this fan base, at least for however long Jalen is still here.
It's not going to be long.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, but you're afraid I'm right.
Before we hang up, now, Courtney and I have gone back and forth on LeBron's antics many, many times.
Many, many
times. And usually I've been on the side of the, you know, being an apologist. However, even I, one of the biggest LeBron apologists ever, cannot deny that him trying to trademark Taco Tuesday was
ridiculous.
Like, what are you trying to pull off? I get, you know, you made Taco Tuesday like...
No, didn't make Taco Tuesday anything. Like, he started talking about it, so people started talking about it more on social media, but Taco Tuesday has always been a thing. Like, it is now true. And also what's funny is that Taco Tuesday, in the context of using it from a slogan standpoint, that's been trademarked by some random Mexican restaurant for years. And I'm not sure why he thought he couldn't just use it, because I'm just confused as to why they ever thought that this was a good idea. It's not like he made it up. Like, you got it from somewhere, sir. I'm super confused as to why you thought this was
the deal. Just because of the way you said it on social media, you get to keep it for life? Man, come on.
Right.
For the first time, I'm saying, or not the first time, but for the first time in a while, LeBron, you're doing too much, man. Go sit down somewhere. Eat some burritos.
It is in my best interest that you play well next year. So can we please more basketball, less dumb trademarks? And I understand that, like, you're not the one filling an application. All you did was tell somebody to do it and they did it. But the trademark office got back to you with a quickness without denial. So let's move
on. And guess what? He ain't the only one. At least, I mean, he tried to trademark a phrase. Ohio State University tried to trademark a basic word of the English dictionary. How many people, when they do the, how many players on Sunday Night Football, when they do their introduction, they say the word "the" in front of their school? It's a lot.
I mean, FSU was actually called the Florida State University up until, like, my undergrad degree says the Florida State University and my graduate degree says Florida State University, because it was literally 2 years apart, but then they changed the name. Like, so there's a million of these "the"s out there.
So the Ohio State University trying to trademark the word the, like, so are they supposed to get paid every single time we use it in an article or a paper? Like, how is that supposed to work? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either.
There's so many reasons why the rest of the country hates Ohio State University.
I think honestly they think that they should get away with something like this because they want to do what A&M did, because A&M trademarked the 12th man. So the Seahawks have been paying A&M to use the 12th man for years.
But yeah, the 12th man is it's something that is defined. It is not, yes, the word the. Like, have, right, you, that's like me trying to trademark okay. Or, yes, us like trademarking because we say it so much. Y'all don't even hear that half the time, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, and if we want to end the show on less goofball.
Right? Goofball. Ball!
Yeah. Apparently, LeVar went and was talking spicy to his son because his son doesn't want to wear, he doesn't even want to wear his shoes anymore. He doesn't want to be involved with a company.
Well, you heard how he was changing the shoes after every quarter because they just didn't hold up when he was wearing them. So there's that.
This comes to the surprise of not a single freaking person on this earth.
I feel like people, like, I just feel like I'm all for people having their own businesses and doing these things, but your business venture should not inhibit your ability to do your job. And I'm sorry, putting on a new pair of sneakers between every quarter, or I have them every game, that does not seem advantageous to you being able to, like, actually play well. Especially, like, because they got big feet and you need stability and all that. Like, we all saw Zion's shoe break and all the stuff that caused. Stop it.
Then it was funny, he called his son damaged goods, like, right in front of his face. I thought that was special.
See, there's a point where, like, as a child or as somebody who is the child of somebody, where you can decide whether your family members are toxic. I believe that Lonzo has hit the point where he's decided that LeVar is toxic and, like, needs to just move on. I know it's easier said than done, but for his sake and for whatever team he's on, the Pelicans, I guess, he should probably do that.
I applaud LeVar for trying to, you know, be instrumental in his son's success. But look, man, at the end of the day, the shoes are trash and he ripped off a lot of people for $500. He claims that his sons are apparently the self-proclaimed three best basketball players on earth.
And considering the fact that I'm not even sure they all have jobs, that's not accurate, but sure.
Like, I get you want to have confidence in your children. All of us should strive to be as supportive of their children as he is.
No, however, but you can't, when your kids decide to make different choices, or when your business partner has ripped them off for $500,000, you need to also know which side to be on at that point.
I definitely saw somebody wearing a Big Baller Brand t-shirt around the corner from my house the other day. It was hilarious.
That's because they were $2.
They're not even going to third world countries. They're going to thrift stores across America. But on that note, I just hope that by the time we tape another podcast that Jalen is still a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't. I hope he's gone on to greener pastures.
Knowing him, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to win a Super Bowl.
He needs to go to Kansas City if that's the case.
Don't tell me that.
I mean, going to New England will guarantee it.
I'm just sad right now. Y'all pray for me, please.
Oh my
gosh.
Pray
for Jalen. Pray for the Jaguars.
Pray for world peace and less hungry children. Not for Smiley or the Jaguars.
If you want to talk about something that's not going to happen, I mean, much confidence in this earth.
But it feels more worthwhile to pray for than Jalen Ramsey. Because guess what? He'll be okay.